I'm going to start out with a PowerPoint, and on part three, prophecy update part three of three, I hope this is going to be our last one. Here we are, this is January 15th of 2025, we're just a few days away from the inauguration. Just today it went public that Hamas and Israel has reached an agreement about the release of hostages. Israel's going to be giving away 30 Muslim warriors. They want to call them terrorists, but you know, we're terrorists to people that are opposed to us. What they are is the Muslim warriors. They're letting Muslim warriors, 30 of them, loose for every civilian they get. If they let go, if Hamas releases an Israeli female soldier, it's 50. It's 50 to 1. And it's going to be going over several days, and then Jews are going to have to pull back and all these things. So this is, you know, dating this service. This prophecy update that just happened today. And there could be all kinds of ramifications of what happens from here on. We're living in a very perilous time in the world. And everybody's saying that. In fact, one of the State Department guys today said, okay, this is my last briefing, unless, of course, something big were to happen. Then I'll be back. Well, that means something big has to happen in his mind between now and Monday. And then FBI guy resigned, and on his way out the door, he's saying, well, I just should let you know that we have a bunch of information in the FBI that there's a bunch of Chinese that are ready to attack our infrastructure in the country. Well now, how does he know that, and why aren't they all arrested? Because he's the FBI, and he knows it's there. Well, because they and the establishment let tens of thousands of Chinese and other people from other countries to come into this country. And so, in other words, he's really hinting to us that we could have our October 7th. That all of us, and all it would take is something lighting up in the Middle East to give an excuse for something to happen here. And all of a sudden we have marauding bands of pre-installed, fifth column inside the country, Trojan horse scenario where they brought them in to bring chaos and destruction in our own country. And of course, the last part of this study today is the deception in the last days. And the worst thing about it is it could have all been by plan by our own globalist, powers to be, to let it happen. So we're not going to be able to believe the narrative. The narrative anymore is almost impossible to believe. But we'll get to that. So things that we know from the prophetic scriptures is what we've been going over here. And we do know from previous studies the world's nations are going to become geographical areas of global government of 10 nations. There will be wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence that will bring about the global government. Maybe even a fifth column Trojan horse stuff they're going to make it happen. And they don't care what it takes to make it happen. There will be global financial collapse to bring about a global control of buying and selling. There's articles every week about this. Every week that if we have a digital currency, it will be the end of any privacy. It will be complete control of the people. There's another headline today about that. Because we know the Bible says that somebody's going to be able to control the buying and selling of everybody. We cover that. And then last week, hatred against the Jews will continue to increase until the nations of the world are gathered against them in the final battle. That was last week. So this week, though, part three is how and why is anti-Semitism sweeping the world and even coming into the church? So why is this happening? Why is it like it's always blame the Jew? In fact, I was at a pastor's conference where Amir Safadi was speaking down in California. And as soon as he got up to speak, there was that huge, just like total feedback of the sound system. I mean, just bam, and everyone, whoa. And Amir goes, blame the Jews. So, because if anything happens, it's blame the Jews. How is this happening? Why is it happening? And then if we get there, if we have time, there will be a global deception like the world has never seen. And I mean, I'm going to just get to this part right now just as have you noticed all this stuff about aliens that's come up in the last couple months? Do you realize how all this alien stuff can be so cooked by the government powers to deceive the people into a narrative that plays into their hands about establishing global government? And we know biblically that aliens are, if they're real, if they're not manufactured through AI deepfakes and stuff like that, If there is any materialization, they're not from some planet far, far away. They're demons that are going to be allowed to materialize, and God is going to allow them to be able to materialize because a great deception is going to come over the world according to the prophetic word of God. And so now we're going to concentrate on why is anti-Semitism sweeping. Short answer. This is the short answer, and it's really a David Dolan answer. David Dolan was a news correspondent. He was an investigative reporter, news correspondent in Israel for quite a while. We had him come a few times. But there's a turf war between Satan and God. He said everything in the Middle East, it's all about whose God is God. And the real issue is God has promised the land of Israel to the Jews, as we're going to see. And so if Satan can say, no, you don't, and he is able to wipe out the Jews, then Satan is in a battle with God to make it so that God's promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the Jews for all the millennia are thwarted. If he wipes them all out using Hamas, Hezbollah, whatever else, then Satan goes, you lied. And somehow he would, in his demented way, think he's going to win. But, you know, he's not God. He thinks he's God. And God is going to win. And he's going to, by winning against Satan in this land war, this turf war over Israel, that's going to last all the way to Armageddon. Satan is going to get all the armies of the world to say, no, it's not your land. We're going to wipe every single one of you out. And then God comes and he destroys the invading armies. And so we know how it ends at the end of the Bible. But Satan doesn't know, and the people that serve Satan don't know how it ends. So this has crept into the church, the answers to these questions. Church people are answering them wrong. Does God want the Jews to be restored to the land of Israel before the second coming of Jesus? The biblical answer is yes, as we're going to see. But increasingly, a lot of people are saying no. The Jews, they rejected Jesus. If they want to come to God, they come through Jesus Christ. You know, they got to become in the church. It's kind of like the early church were Jews, and they said, if you want to get to God, you got to come in through being a Jew. And now we're saying, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to come to Jesus before, otherwise God doesn't care anything about you or the promises that he made to you in the Old Testament that have never been fulfilled. And so it's really kind of a strange thing. And if so, and our answer is yes, yes, God wants the Jews back in land. Should the Bible-believing church want the Jews to return to the land of Israel? You know, if the land belongs to the Jews, yes, we want to say the Jews should be back in the land of Israel. Why? Because that's what the Bible says, as we're going to see. And then now, well, wait a second. Even if the method used to restore and maintain the nation of Israel are unchristian? I mean, they're killing people. But Jesus said, you know, he who bears the sword will die by the sword. They're having to kill people. They're keeping food from going in. They're bombing them. They're not fair. They're not losing as many people as Hamas loses. And so, you know, they're not fighting fair. They should give an air force to Hamas so that they can Hamas can bomb Israel. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of what you've got to be thinking the way they do. Yes, even if the method used to restore the nation of Israel and Christian, because it's God using the Israeli Defense Forces to miraculously defend themselves against genocide and annihilation, which would allow Satan to win the turf war with God. And he gives them the wisdom to execute their wars. Even if the Israeli leaders are working with those who are promoting global government, which we know will someday lead to the kingdom of the Antichrist, how can we as Christians who know the last days, we know the global government's coming, and these Jews, they're Jewish bankers that are trying to globalize the economy. There's Jewish politicians that are trying to create a global government. And whatever the globalists want Israel to do in the Middle East to get further their goals, to wipe out Iran and all this other stuff, the globalists are using them, and Israel's complicit, and they're complicit in these false flags that have happened in the past. And so forget the Jews. That's what some people say. Friends of mine have told me that. To answer these questions, we're going to go to Ezekiel 36 through 39, although we're only going to mention 38 and 39. And here's an amazing thing. The scriptures that we're about to go to, so from the next several minutes, we're going to be in the Bible, so I hope you all brought your Bibles, because I didn't want to put all these scriptures in the PowerPoint program. But we're going to read a section of scripture from Ezekiel, which is close to 2,600 years ago. The history was that Babylon was coming to destroy Jerusalem and scatter the Jews. Then the Jews came back into the land of Israel 70 years later, and then they lived until the time of Jesus, then the Romans destroyed Jerusalem, the temple again, destroyed the second temple. The Jews were scattered again, and a small group of Jews, about 1,000 of them, found a place that they thought they can live. They can live in the land of Israel without being under the thumb of the Romans. And it was a place called Masada. Herod the Great had made Masada an impregnable fortress down in the Judean desert. And so the Jews escaped to there, 1,000 of them. It took one or two Roman legions. They basically moved a mountain of dirt to make a ramp all the way up the hill to breach the wall. And when they breached the wall, they found out that all the Jews committed suicide because they said better dead than under the Roman government. So the global government of the time couldn't stand that there was 1,000 people that were not under their thumb. And the Jews, during the months that they were up there, because it took from 70 AD to 73 AD for them to be conquered by the Romans, so it took 3 years after they got up there. And they made a synagogue. They made one of the rooms, they made it into a synagogue. And under the floor of the synagogue, they hid Ezekiel, the scroll of Ezekiel, turned to this section of scripture. And then, 1963 and 64, there was archaeological work up there, and they lifted the floor, and they saw the scroll. And it was opened up to this. And you know what it's, and what this section of scripture is, God, they were saying, okay, you got us. You took us out, but there's Jews scattered. We're dying, but there's Jews scattered. And according to this prophecy, we're coming back. So they left it hidden under the floor to say, we'll be back. You know why they found it in 63, 64? Because the Jews came back and they started looking at their own property there. And they said, oh. And so it was basically, it was a time capsule saying, you know why you're opening this? It's because God's word came true. So that's how important this section of scripture is it was opened up to this. 36:1, and you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel. So this whole chapter is a prophecy to the land of Israel. Chapter 37 is going to be the prophecy to the Jews to come out of the graveyards of all the nations they've been scattered to come back into the land. Ezekiel 37 is going to be, once you get brought back into the land, you're going to be, Ezekiel 38 is, when you get back into the land, there's going to be a consortium of nations that are going to come and try and totally annihilate you. And God himself is going to destroy them instead. And 39 ends with, and this is going to be, God is going to be using the Jews' deliverance miraculously in that coming war, yet future to us, as a witness to the whole world that there is a God of the Jews. And no matter how many people try to come against them, they shouldn't. Now that's going to last for 7 years until Antichrist tries it again with all the nations of the world in the Battle of Armageddon and he loses there. So this is a prophecy to the land. And you, son of man, prophesy to the mountains of Israel and say, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, because the enemy has said to you, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. So who's the historical enemy of God? It's Satan. And the nations that serve him. What are the historical enemies of the land of Israel and the Jews that Satan has manipulated throughout the millennia to be against the Jews? Syria, Assyria, which is Iraq, Babylon, Iraq, Persians, Iran, Jordan, which is Moab, Ammon, and Edomites, Sidon and Tyre, which is Lebanon, Egypt, which is Egypt, Media, which is Saudi Arabia. All those nations were always, the Jews have always had Satan trying to keep them out of the land or getting them out of the land for all the millennia. And so what God is saying here is because the enemy now has said for the last 2,000 years, they're gone, we're in, it's ours. How much of the, United Nations is like, whose land is it? It's so easy. Just open up to chapter 36 and we know. And it's over. End of story. End of wars. Everybody goes home and be happy. It's God's, because the enemy has said, aha, the ancient heights have become our possession. Whose possession is it? It's God's. And so therefore prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, because they made you, the land, the people that took over after the Jews made the land desolate, swallowed you up on every side so that you became a possession of the rest of the nations, and you are taken up by the lips of the talkers and slanderers by the people. The people, you know, say, hey, this in the land of the Jews anymore. They're lying. And this can't be in context of when the Jews were in Babylon, which was after, you know, during the time of Ezekiel. This isn't an Ezekiel thing. This is, Ezekiel skipped over the return of the Jews in the days after him. This is skipping to this second return of the Jews, which is our generation. Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus says the Lord God to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, the desolate wastes, and the cities that have been forsaken, which became plunder and mockery to the rest of the nations all around. The land at the time of this prophecy being fulfilled was desolate, hardly anybody living there. There was the vegetation was sparse. Everything had been messed up because when the Jews are out of the land of Israel, the land suffers. When the Jews come back to the land of Israel, it flourishes. And that's what it goes on to say in other parts of chapter 36. And if you want to read a book by Mark Twain, who went to the land of Israel, and he reported, in his diary, he's just writing down, it was called Mark Twain's Innocents Abroad, is the book that he wrote. There's nobody here. There's not a place to find a tree to have shade. There are millions and millions of trees that have been planted. It's changed the weather in Israel. They're a breadbasket of Europe with their fruits and their other produce. They have exploded like the Garden of Eden, it says in a scripture we're not going to cover. And I had the privilege of going to a farm that was absolute. The area was desolate. And when I visited in 1999, these farmers were talking about how God had given them this wisdom on irrigating with almost no water to cause the place to flourish with their produce and flowers. They were sending flowers all over Europe. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, surely I have spoken in my burning jealousy against the rest of the nations and against all Edomites, which were southern Jordan at the time, who gave my land to themselves. So God is saying in the last days, pertaining to this time, the Edomites gave the land to themselves as a possession with wholehearted joy and spiteful minds in order to plunder its open country. Now, whose land is the land of Israel? Right there. It's God's. Who is allowed to be there? Who did he give it to? The Jews. Well, they weren't always there because God kicked them out. But God has the ability to put them back in. And that's what this prophecy is about. The land, get ready. I'm going to bring them back. And we're going to find out why he brings them back here in a minute. Go to Ezekiel 35:1 for a minute. Because Edom really are what are today the Palestinians. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, set your face against Mount Seir, which is Edom, and prophesy against it and say to it, thus says the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against you. I will stretch out my hand against you and make you most desolate. I shall lay your cities to waste, and you shall be desolate. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Because you have had an ancient hatred. Who were the Edomites? They were the descendants of Esau. They were the ones that hated Jacob. An ancient hatred that went all the way back to Jacob and Esau. An ancient hatred, and have shed the blood of the children of Israel by the power of the sword at the time of their calamity, when their iniquity came to an end. Therefore, as I live, says the Lord, I will prepare you for blood, and blood shall pursue you. Since you have not hated blood, therefore blood shall pursue you. What do the Muslims brag about? We love death more than you love life. That's why moms Palestinian moms rejoice when they find out that their sons were killed, as long as they killed some Jews. And the Jews recognize, you know, Golda Meir said, we can forgive you for killing our children, but we can't forgive you for causing us to have to kill your children. But they don't care about it. They just love blood. That's because they serve the Satan God. It's a turf war between Satan and God. And God is using these people with Islam. Islam is serving Allah. Allah goes all the way back. The history goes all the way back to the moon god. Behind the moon god is Satan. And behind every idol is a demon. So how is God going to bring the Jews back into land? See, the Bible is saying here, land, get ready, the Jews are coming back. And then chapter 37, hey, you Jewish people that are scattered in your nations, you're all going to come back. How is that going to happen? You know, think about this, okay, because it's happened since 1948. How is it going to happen? Well, you know, they opened up to Ezekiel 36 and 37 in the United Nations, and they said, you know what, World War II's happened, and we should all recognize that God's in charge, it's his land, he's bringing the Jews back, so let's give him the promised land. And all the Muslims that are living in the whole area go, well, the best thing to do is obey God of the Bible, and so we'll all make sure that the Jews live here in peace. Okay, so we can rule that one out. So what's the only way it's going to happen? It's going to happen in the same way God told Joshua, the land of Canaan, it now is going to belong to you. Did the people in Jericho and all the kings and the nations, did they just roll over and say, okay, it belongs to you because we're so evil and wicked and you have... No, it took war. It took people dying. It took the slaughtering of every man, woman, and child. And that was God that told them to do it. In fact, he got upset with them when they didn't do it, because when they let some of them live, then those living, pagan, idolatrous, child-killing, Satan-worshipping, demon, you know, idol-worshipping people infiltrated their own culture and caused them to take on the practices of evil. And so God is saying, I'm going to, this land is yours, and I want you to take it. You're going to come back in. I'm going to lead you to come back into those land. So going back to 36:6. Therefore, prophesy concerning the land of Israel, and say to the mountains, the hills, the rivers, the valleys, thus says the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and my fury. This is God speaking, because you have borne the shame of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I have raised my hand in an oath that surely the nations that are around you shall bear their own shame. They're going to have to die. They're going to be defeated in war. They're going to try everything they can to kill all of you. The Jews, and I'm not going to let that happen. Yes, the Jews are going to lose some people, but you are not going to lose the war. But you, O mountains of Israel, verse 8 of 36, you shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, for they are about to come. For indeed I am for you. I will turn to you, and you shall be tilled and sown. I will multiply men upon you, all the house of Israel, all of it, and the city shall be inhabited, and the ruins rebuilt. Is that fulfilled today? Completely fulfilled. I mean, again, it's just, you can see by a satellite picture where Israel is, except for the desert area where nothing grows. I mean, you look at a satellite picture of the northern area, and it's just flourishing compared to other parts of the land and the area, you know, the other nations. I will multiply upon you man and beast, and they shall increase and bear young. I will make you inhabited as in former times, and do better for you than at your beginnings, which has been fulfilled. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And the Jews are waking up to the fact that, wow, God is working miracles. There's a website devoted to the miracles that have happened in this Hamas war. They have testimonies of miraculous things that have happened. And, you know, the Jews are mostly secular. There's very few real Christians, but they're there, and they're increasing. So the Jews are realizing, if God doesn't help us, we've got the whole world against us. They're starting to have a revival, and it's going to be fulfilled. Chapter 36, verse 12, yes, I will cause men to walk on you, my people Israel, they shall take possession of you, and you, land of Israel, shall be their inheritance. No more shall you bereave them of children. Thus says the Lord God, because they say to you, the nations say to you, the land of Israel, you devour men and bereave your nation of children. So, yeah, the nations were saying, yeah, the promised land of the Jews. Yeah, look at them. Hitler almost finished them off. God of the Bible is a liar. You know, why do people even believe the Bible or read it? Because these prophecies are never going to happen, because that God can't do it, keep his promises to his people. That's what he's saying. And then verse 14, therefore you shall devour men no more, nor bereave your nation anymore, says the Lord God. Nor will I let you hear the taunts of the nations anymore, nor bear the reproach of the peoples anymore, nor shall you cause your nation to stumble anymore, says the Lord. In other words, the Jews will never be kicked out of the land of Israel again. Their population is going to be reduced, but there's never going to be another dispersion of the Jews. Verse 16, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, because of your sins, then go to verse 19, so I scattered you among the nations because of your sins, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. I judged them according to their ways and their deeds. When they came to the nations, wherever they went, they being in the nations instead of in the land of Israel, caused the nations to profane my holy name. When they, the nations, said of the Jews, these are the people of the Lord, and yet they have gone out of his land. Does everybody understand what God is saying there? He goes, I had to kick you out because of your sin, but now, for 2,000 years, people are going, how good is the God of the Jews? He's left them in the scattered throughout the nations of the world, and we hate him. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations wherever they went. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this, causing the land to let the Jews return. I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. Now, a lot of people, the Calvinists, the Reformed Calvinists that are also replacement theology Calvinists like John Piper, they say that no, the Jews are not in the land of Israel because they're out of covenant. If they got back into a covenant believing in Jesus, then maybe that would be it. But they're out of covenant. God says, I'm not doing it because you had revival. I'm not doing it because all of a sudden you're not secular anymore and you're even wanting to obey the laws of Moses as best you can. I'm not doing it for that. I'm doing it because the nations are cursing my name because of me disciplining you. So the discipline is over. Verse 23, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. Now that has started, as I shared before. In 73, the 73 war, my fellow sailors, before I was a Christian, when the 73 war was happening, and Israel had been surprise attacked by Syria and Egypt, and it was like, it was a done deal. Israel was going to be destroyed. Moshe Dayan, their famous general with an eye patch, he walked into Golda Meir's office and said, the third temple is gone, meaning we're going to be wiped out. They're going to succeed. They're going to kill us. And by miracles that happened on the battlefield, the miraculous intervention of Nixon to send the biggest military airlift in the history up to that point and resupplied the Jews. If it weren't for that miracle, those miracles, they would have been destroyed. And God here is saying is, I'm going to make people in that barracks room say, wow, the Jews must have a God. There's people that are saying with the Hamas war, wow, how are the Jews able to do this? How are they able to know where their enemies are and have all this intelligence and all this other stuff? And God is saying, I'm going to make it so the people of the nations are in awe. And wait until Psalm 83 happens. They're going to be in awe. Wait until Isaiah 17 happens. Then they're going to be in awe. Wait until Ezekiel 38, 39 war and God himself destroys the armies and he destroys them right on the field to the point where they're dropping dead and it takes 7 months for the Jews to bury the dead. The nations are going to be in awe, and that's what the end of Ezekiel 38 and 39 says. So some of this stuff is yet future to us, but we've already seen enough to know where it's going. So let's go to verse 36, 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. That is going to be starting to be fulfilled. The Jews, Jesus says, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath. The Jews are going to be doing Sabbath. They're going to go back to the law of Moses. They're going to go back to sacrifice. They're going to go back nationally. There's not going to be, Tel Aviv is not going to be a homosexual capital of the world anymore. In fact, since the war started, they've had to cancel their parades. The people are really realizing that, I don't know what the motivation is completely in the land, but they're probably sitting there going, do we really want to do this at a time where we're outnumbered in as far as people are concerned? Then let's go to Ezekiel 37:21. And you can read this whole chapter. And you know, somebody says, oh, there's a new study Bible out. What I go to, if it's a study Bible that has a narrative, has notes, what do they say about these chapters? If you read a study Bible and it doesn't talk about these chapters as being fulfilled now, then throw it away. And I can't find any that do anymore. The new study Bibles that are coming out, because they, even the publishers are being taken over by secular people, and they hate, it's a spiritual battle of a hatred against the Jews to not let people think of, but if you just read it, if you just read this, it's obvious. It's talking about our day. Then say to them, the Jews, thus says the Lord God, surely I will take the children of Israel from among the nations, which he calls the graves earlier, wherever they have gone, and I will gather them from every side to bring them into the land. Have the Jews come to the land of Israel from every corner of the earth? From every single land? In the Babylon, when they were deported to Babylon, where did they come from? Babylon. I came back from Babylon. Now it's like, they're coming from everywhere. And I will make them one nation in the land. They've never been one nation in the land since the Babylonians destroyed them on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them. There wasn't a Jewish king when the Babylon, from the time of Babylon conquering Jerusalem, there has not been a king over Israel until Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister of Israel, and he was over a united Israel. There wasn't the southern two tribes and the northern 10 tribes. And they shall no longer be two nations, nor shall they ever be divided into two kingdoms again. So let's turn to Isaiah 66:8. So the above was not fulfilled in the past. This is being fulfilled now. It cannot, these scriptures cannot apply to the millennium. People say, well, you know, this is all going to find its fulfillment in the millennium after Jesus comes back. There's no way when you think about what's being said here, there's no way that can be true. And Isaiah 66:8, who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. Shall I bring to the time of birth and not cause delivery, says the Lord? Shall I, who cause delivery, shut up the womb, says your God? What does Isaiah prophesy in the last chapter? That the nation of Israel, Zion, is going to give birth as a nation in one day. May 14th, 1948, 2,700 years after those words were written by the prophet Isaiah, Israel became a nation in one day. So let's look at the questions that we asked earlier in light of these verses that we've gone over. We could spend hours on other verses. Does God want the Jews to be restored to the land of Israel before the second coming of Jesus? I mean, Ezekiel 36, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the answer is yes. He does. If so, should the Bible-believing church want the Jews to return to the land of Israel? Yes, unless we want to jump on Satan's side of the turf war. I mean, and that's Christians that don't support it, to me, are either not Christians, or they don't know their Bible. They just don't know the prophetic word. Because you don't want to fight God. You don't want to say, God, I know that you said you want to bring them back, but I don't like the way they're coming back. I don't think they should be so violent when they come back. I think they should have just said, why don't we just make a deal and you just move and we come back, because that's what God wants us to do. And if they don't, then go start, be peaceful and just go somewhere else. No, God wants them back in the land. And even if the method used to restore and maintain the nation are unchristian, you could say wars are not Christian, except they've been fought ever since the beginning. And you don't fight wars to be Christian. You fight wars to keep from being annihilated. And that's what the Jews are having to do. And even if the Jewish-Israeli leaders are working with those who are promoting global government, which we know will someday lead to the Antichrist, yes, because they're not Christians, but they are God's witness people. And God is using the fact that he is bringing them back in miraculously, maintaining their existence miraculously. They're a witness people, not because they're sharing about Jesus, because the whole world's rejecting Jesus at the time they become the witness people, because we're being taken off. The church is going to be taken off. We're the witness people now. And when we're gone, God says, okay, Jews, you're front and center. And the way I'm going to protect you is going to make the world take notice. And they're going to realize there's a God of Israel. And they're ultimately, because they can't wipe you out, they're going to let you build a temple. And they're going to let you do sacrifices. And they're going to make a deal with you. And you always wanted, back when, 2,000 years ago, Jesus could say, when I was there and you just wanted a man, I'm going to let you have him. You're going to have a man. As we've already covered in the previous studies. And then you're going to see that that doesn't work out. And then, those last 3.5 years, there's going to be a sifting of the nation of Israel. And the ones that really want to believe in me as your God, God saying, you want to believe in me and me as the Savior Jesus? Well, then you're protected. As the world goes on to, for the final turf war being almost to the total annihilation of everything on this world. Because Satan and God are going to duke it till the end. And I'm going to say yes, because they're not Christians, they're a witness people, because God is giving them what they want, a human Messiah. And it is clear from modern history that the birth and preservation of the nation of Israel is a miracle of God. It was born in 1948. The Jews survived the War of Independence, miraculously. And one of the ways that they survived the War of Independence is we're about to get into. But even since the War of Independence, have the Jews ever experienced peace in their history since 1948? 67 years, Have they ever? They're either in a hot war, or they're constantly living with terrorists coming into the nation of Israel to kill Jews. Can you imagine if you are living all the time realizing that you're completely surrounded by enemies who want to come across your border, and they want to kill your men, women, and children with no mercy at all. That's the way they've lived. And then just today, like we're talking about the Hamas deal, we're going to find out that there's no making peace with Satan. You can't make peace with people that serve Satan. So here's something that you're probably not aware of that just blew me away when I thought about it because of sequence events. How many of you have heard of Robert Maxwell? Okay, just a couple of people. And so this man is a Jew. Maxwell was born into an Orthodox Jewish family in Czechoslovakia. And after escaping Nazi occupation of his country, Maxwell joined the Czechoslovakian army in exile during World War II. So the Czechoslovakian underground, he joined them to fight the Germans who had come in to want to annihilate the Jews. And he lost almost all of his family in the Holocaust. And was decorated after active service in the British Army. So he had charged a machine gun nest and everything. He was a war hero. In 1945, Maxwell married Elizabeth Betty Maynard, a French Protestant, and had 9 children, with the last one being Ghislaine. There was 8 and then Ghislaine. Maxwell's contacts with Czechoslovakia communist leaders in 1948 was crucial in the arming of Israel in the 1948 Arab-Israeli War. So here was a Jew that God allowed to survive charging machine gun nest and everything else. He was a really rotten guy. He was a corrupt guy. He had all, you can read the Wikipedia on him, and it's just a long list of his darings and corruption and everything else. He actually was probably murdered. He was floating in the water next to his yacht. But he used his connections in the Czechoslovakian army to give Israel, I think it was 5, Messerschmitts. So he got the Czechoslovakians to be the only country in the world that would give Israel any arms. You know how many arms were allowed to be come out of America to help them in their war of independence? Zippo. Because our State Department wanted the Jews to be annihilated. Because what happened is in November of 1947, the United Nations voted to partition Palestine, to allow the Jews to have a Jewish state and the Arabs to have a Arab state. And then Israel didn't declare independence until May of 1948. During that gap between the two, everybody was telling Ben-Gurion, don't declare it. Don't come and wipe us out. And the Arabs were completely arming up to go wipe out all the Jews. And the Jews were saying, we need to arm up our people. Go to country A, B, C, D. Can you send us some arms? Can you give us some machine guns? Can we buy some tanks? Can we? No, 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 no. Czechoslovakia, because of Maxwell, we'll give them some Messerschmitts. And it was Maxwell's covert help in smuggling aircraft parts into Israel that led to the country having an air supremacy during the war. Air supremacy with five fighters. And one of them shot itself, the machine gun through the propeller that wasn't right, and so it shot the propeller off and crashed. This movie is a must. If you're interested in that story, it's called Above and Beyond, that you can rent on Amazon. And it's the people that were involved in this that are explaining what happened. The original pilots, the people that were watching their friends die as pilots, and telling the story of the whole Egyptian column on its way to Tel Aviv, massive troops and column. And they said, we came down and strafed them, and they stopped and they turned around. If it wasn't for that strifing and turning around, because they're going, whoa, Israel has an air force? And God just put the fear in them, and they went cowardly. They ignored the fact that there wasn't that many people, that many planes that they had to worry about. And they turned around. It was a miracle. If not for that miracle, only God knows. Maxwell worked with another Jewish American, Al Schwimmer, and it's in the movie. It's all detailed in the movie. So he found some aviators from World War II that were willing to come and take part in this whole smuggling operation. And it was against the law in America for anybody to help Israel, because we had passed a law in the country of neutrality, the neutrality law. If you violated it in any way, you lost your citizenship. He barely got the plane material necessary for this to happen. He barely got away from our State Department snooping on his smuggling operation. But they found out later, when Israel did have their Messerschmitts, etc., and they took away his citizenship until Clinton pardoned him. So it took that long. It took from 1948 till Clinton for them to realize we really shouldn't have treated Israel that way. Then back to Maxwell. He had known links to the British Secret Service, MI6, Soviet Union, KGB, to the Israeli Intelligence Service, Mossad. Six serving and former heads of Israeli intelligence services attended Maxwell's funeral in Israel, while Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Shamir eulogized him and stated he has done more for Israel than can today be told. But he was a rotten guy, and he worked for the Mossad. And the Mossad, a lot of people hate the Jews because of all the stuff going on with the intelligence agencies. And this are those KGB, MI6, Mossad, and everything. And it's globalist and everything else. And so he's working with everybody. And they thought he was either an agent, a double agent, triple agent. He was just, they didn't even know what he was because he was so corrupt. You know what I said his youngest child was daughter Ghislaine. Does she ring a bell? Ghislaine Maxwell. The daughter of the Mossad agent who saved the nation of Israel. God used him to allow his promises in Ezekiel 36, 37, used him to be the sword that let the Jews win 1948. And so then his daughter, she's a Mossad agent. Jeffrey Epstein, he's a Mossad agent. So what is their role? To take politicians, judges, anybody of power, generals, everything else, run them to an island, have them do a bunch of perverted stuff on that's recorded with video and audio, making files on everybody. For why? So that the nation of Israel can be protected. Through extortion. Is that wicked? It's horribly wicked. But you know what? Did the globalists care? How come the government protected Jeffrey Epstein? Because while they're doing it for Israel as Mossad agents, the globalists are doing it for their global agenda. The globalists, they want to be in control of legislators too. They want to be in control of Supreme Court justices too. They want to be in control of presidents too. Because then they say, you know what? This is where we want you to go. Well, I don't want to go there. Well, either you go there or the media gets a folder in the mail. And see this, Kevin, how can this be God? How can this be God doing it? Because of the Word of God. And God is allowing this war tactic where the globalists in Israel are together, because if you're a survivor, would you say that the Jewish DNA is kind of weeded out wimps that don't want to survive? Because they'll do anything to survive. That's, you lived through Nazi Germany, you're a survivalist. And if the Jews know that the whole world wants to kill them, and someday they will, do you want to embrace the philosophy that if we create a global government and disarm everybody as a result, to where there will never be war again? Is that something that as a Jew that you would welcome? You'd welcome that promise. You would say, if they can't come with missiles, because see, the global government is going to disarm everybody. There's not going to be this nation against this nation. It's going to be complete control of the world, and they're going to promise peace to the world. And if I'm a Jew, I want peace. That's why they're going to embrace the Antichrist, because he's going to promise them peace. And so who else has a plan besides the globalists that can see them looking into the future and saying, hey, we could be here for thousands of years? Because there'll be a global government and an establishment of technology and everything else is going to make it so that nobody's going to be able to come. And we'll sign a paper with them and they're going to protect us right up until the Battle of Armageddon. You know, they're going to be deceived. It's a pragmatic, natural thing for the Jews to embrace globalist agenda. If the globalists are telling them, and in exchange for you helping us as being our proxy in the Middle East, we'll give you a promise of peace. We'll give you a promise of a temple, ultimately. We'll give you a promise of letting you do your sacrifices and everything after these wars where they feel like they have to promise them that. And so we shouldn't be... They're not Christians. They're not spirit-filled. They're relying on global government instead of the universal God who created the heavens and the earth. And God knows that they're not there. He brought them into the land because he knows they're not there. I'm not doing this because of you. I'm doing this because of me. I've made promises in the Word of God. And I don't want anybody saying this Word of God needs to go in the garbage, because it can't happen, won't happen. And so I'm making it happen, and you can use the smarts I've given you and use people that I'm going to use, and I'm sovereignly going to make you be in the land. So how can Christians support people like Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell have what they've done to abuse children, corrupt our country, for the Jewish Mossad in order to preserve the nation of Israel? How could Christians support what Joseph did to impoverish the entire Egyptian population in order to preserve the sons of Jacob? Can you imagine the Egyptians? Well, because of that Jewish guy that's up in the government, it's globalist, as far as Egypt is concerned, they're a global power. And we had to sell all of our grain, all of our materials, all of our land, all of it went to the globalists. And we had to do that just to stay alive. But he kept us alive too. So we just have to understand. Same thing with David. The things that David did that weren't very Christian, but he was staying alive. And the Jews have stayed alive. So How and why is anti-Semitism sweeping the world, even coming into the church? It's because of the turf war between Satan and God. And God's going to win. And all the people who say we believe in Jesus, the God who was sent, that God so loved us, he sent Jesus into the world to save us from sin. And he's doing this. He's making it happen. Then we should be on his side without any contradiction. And there will be a global deception like the world has never seen. And we're not going to talk about it very much because we're out of time. But the deception is happening. And Thessalonians says there is the coming of the lawless one. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12. Is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. And the ones that are going to be susceptible to the lying wonders that are coming, whether it's UFOs, flat earthers, you know, well, whatever the lying deception is going to be, if they buy into it, if they buy into that lying deception, we can sit there based on this word and go, oh, you don't love the truth. Because they did not love the truth, they will be given over to these lying signs and wonders. For among those who perish, because they did not receive a love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, global government's coming. We don't want that to happen. We're not even believing it's going to bring a utopia because we know the truth that it's not going to bring a utopia. But we know it's going to happen. We know God's using the Jews to help it happen for all the purposes that we just talked about and covered in the scriptures. It's a two-pronged thing that he's allowing man to do what they want to do because they've rejected the truth. But a lot of people are going to come to saving faith and, well, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number of all the nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Then one of the elders answered and said to me, who are these arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? And I said to them, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed the robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The church is taken away. We're no longer the witness. Jews are front and center. They become a witness by all the miraculous interventions that God is going to be doing in these coming wars. 144,000 Jewish men are going to be witnessing during that time. The two witnesses in Jerusalem in Revelation 11. They're going to be a witness to the world because nobody can kill them. And they can bring judgment down on anybody else. And probably at that time, the whole UFO thing is going to be total full tilt. Because these guys that can't be killed, they're not going to be nor. The world's going to see them. Oh, they're the aliens from the bad guys who believe there's a God who created the heavens and the earth. And then the narrative of the media is going to be, well, you know, these aliens say we're all God and those guys are the bad guys. And so there has to be a war. And then the Antichrist comes and kills the two bad guys as far as they're concerned. But in the midst of all that, there's going to be people going, you know, all this stuff was written down in this Bible. All this stuff was written down in the Word of God that talked about Jesus. And myriads of people are going to be coming from all the nations of the world, and they're going to get their white robes of righteousness by believing and trusting in Jesus as their Savior. And then they're going to sit before the throne and worship God. Jesus is coming soon, would you agree? If we're getting this close to this stuff happening, are you ready? If you know Jesus, you're ready. If you don't, man, oh man, oh man. It's going to be a really wild ride, we could be, like I alluded to before the service, with the coming inauguration and all the rumblings, whether it's even going to happen, whether he's going to get assassinated, whether he comes in and he's really going to do what he says, or if Trump is working for the globalists or not working for the globalists. You know, I mean, all this stuff that's going on, which we can't really know. But God knows. And we know there's a time of Jacob's trouble coming. There's a time of trouble coming to this world like the world has never seen. And the globalists want trouble. They want to burn down places in the world. They want to bring chaos. They're now, like I alluded to on Sunday, they're talking about how the insurance companies might not be able to survive. Now think about that. Everybody's insurance is either unaffordable or gone. I mean, the way we've lived in America could just be so different in the soon future. And it's going to cause us to live by faith in God and have our hope in Jesus and where He's going to be taking us. He's made a place for us. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word, and we pray that You would be, well, if there's anybody here that doesn't know You, Lord, that they would just join in this prayer. Father, I know Your Word is true, and history in front of our eyes is proving that You alone are God. Your prophetic Word is happening before our eyes, and we're coming up to a storm, just like we listened to a weatherman saying that a polar vortex is coming, and we act upon it, Lord, and yet so many people can look at Your Word that You're a perfect weatherman as far as the weathers of spiritual change coming to this world, and yet so many people ignore Your 100% proof record. And we just pray that anybody that doesn't know You would humble themselves and just confess that they're in sinners in need of a Savior, so that they could have faith in You and trust You and have everlasting life. We thank You for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away.
Left behind. Nobody here, right? Okay. God bless you. Keep you in His care. And that song, it's really going to happen. One day we're going to hear a trump and just all of a sudden we're going to go, wow. It's going to be something. God bless you. Keep you in His care.